To me, the idea of eight is itself something which is higher than the order of creation. That in general, in the order of creation, everything works on a cycle of seven. 7 days of the week, seven middays, seven spheres, and so on. Eight is something which is higher than all of the seven. As the Rashba explained it, it is shemer es ha-hekef. Literally, it guards the cycle. That we have a cycle of seven, which is the normal scheme of things in nature. Then we have the shemer es ha-hekef, this which is higher and guards them. Which, as the name indicates, a guard must be stronger than the thing he is guarding. Otherwise, he is unfit to be a guard. And so, too, the eighth day is sort of a guard for the other seven, meaning that it represents a revelation which is completely higher than the other seven. It is of a different order of revelation. And this is the idea of Parsha Shmini, a revelation which is higher than the world, and higher than, say, the Rishtal Shalus, the order of nature. This also fits the second Parsha, the next idea which is described in Parsha Shmini, the death of the sons of Aaron. Why was it that Aaron's sons passed away? It is explained in Hasidic philosophy that the mistake that they made by bringing the wrong sort of sacrifice was that their sacrifice consisted of coming close to Hashem without any thought of remaining in the physical world. They were so consumed and so much caught up with the idea of coming close to Hashem that this was the only thing which concerned them. Since they wanted to come close to Hashem, they had no thought of the necessity of remaining in a physical body and remaining in the physical world in order to continue to perform mitzvahs and learn Torah and in general to make the physical world into a dwelling place for Hashem, which is the purpose of creation. Since they were holding on a high level that was so high that they could not relate to a lower level, they could only think about going higher and cleaving to their source. In the words of Chassidus, it was a rotze without a shave, only an approach without a retreat. That normally when one wants to serve Hashem and come closer to Him, one could come to a stage where one is close to kleis ha-nefesh, an expiration of the soul. However, later on one must realize that that is not the ultimate purpose of one's creation. The purpose of creation is to remain down here in the physical world, and to make the physical world into a dwelling place for Hashem. And this is one of the ideas of the sons of Aaron, that they had a rotze without a shave. They had this idea of a high revelation, but they were not able to bring it to a level where it was down in existence in the physical world. We therefore see that they are also related to the idea of Shmini, of eight, meaning a high revelation higher than the normal Seder, the normal order of things in nature in the physical world in Seder Ishtalshalus. And since they were higher than Seder Ishtalshalus, that's why they were unable to survive and actually passed away. However, this itself only partially fits the idea of Shmini, because there are two aspects to Shmini, as we mentioned in the shorter Parsha program, that Shmini includes not only an idea which is higher than the other seven, but also indicates that there is a connection with the seven. Shmini is able to be an eighth only because there were seven preceding it. And therefore, at the same time that Shmini shows that it's higher than the other seven, it shows that there is a connection with the seven. In other words, it indicates two opposites at the same time. Unlike the sons of Aaron, who had only the idea of being higher than the order of creation, the true significance of Shmini is that at the same time that it is higher than all of the seven, meaning higher than the regular scheme of creation, at the same time it is connected with the seven. It is an eighth in relationship to the seven, and therefore it is still able to be connected with the physical world at the same time that it is higher. And this is connected with the idea of the Messianic Age, during which time there will be the Kinar Shel Shmeina Nimin, instead of the harp or violin of seven strands, which existed at the times of the Temple, there will be a Kinar of eight strands. That the revelation in the days of Mashiach will be in the same way of eight. What is the significance of a revelation of eight? As we mentioned previously, that there will be a revelation of godliness higher than Seder Ishtalshalus, higher than the whole order of things as they are presently in creation. It will be a tremendously high spiritual revelation, as we see by the idea of Shmini, higher than the other seven. However, simultaneously, it will also have a connection with the seven, meaning that it will not remain purely a spiritual revelation. It will come down to be revealed in the physical world. And that is the idea that the prophet says that in the days of Mashiach, there will be v'nigla kved havaya, there will be a revelation of the glory of Hashem. V'ro kol basar yachtov ki pi havaya diber, and all flesh will see that the mouth of Hashem is speaking. What is the idea of flesh seeing? Flesh does not refer to eyes over here. It means the regular physical flesh of the body. How can flesh have a revelation of godliness? However, it is such a level of godliness, such a revelation, that even the basar, even physicality, will sense its presence. As things are presently, even the mind cannot see godliness, and not the physical eyes, certainly, and even less is it possible that flesh could see godliness. However, in the days of Mashiach, even flesh will be able to see godliness. Just as the physical eyes now can see a physical object, so too will the physical flesh in the days of Mashiach be able to see the presence of God. Ki pi havaya diber. And this, that physical flesh will see godliness in the days of Mashiach, could be explained in one of two ways. First of all, we could say that since there will be a revelation of Bli Gvul, of the infinite revelation of Hashem, in the days of Mashiach, this will necessitate that even physicality will also sense this presence. Why is that? Because when we speak of a spiritual revelation, even an infinitely strong spiritual revelation, if it only can be revealed in spiritual realms, it is not truly infinite. The idea of infinite is something which has no limitations whatsoever. So therefore, even should we have a tremendously high spiritual revelation, but it cannot be expressed in the physical realm, it is really limited. It is limited to the realm of spirituality. The true idea of Bli Gvul, the true idea of an infinite revelation, is something which is not even limited to an infinite spiritual revelation. When is it truly unlimited? When it can go out of the spiritual realm and even be revealed in the physical realm. Then it is really infinite, because it is not limited to a spiritual revelation. It can even be sensed in the physical world as well. Just as when we speak about Hashem Himself, Hashem in His essence, we certainly cannot say that Hashem is a physical existence. Chas v'sholem, God forbid. This is one of the fundamental principles of Jewish faith, that Hashem Himself is not a physical existence. Therefore we say what? Normally we say that He is a spiritual existence, a ruchni. However, when we think deeper into it, this is also not really accurate. It's true there are spiritual revelations of Hashem in various spiritual realms. However, this is also a limitation on Hashem. To say that He is a ruchnistic existence, that He's a spiritual existence, is not really accurate. Hashem, in His essence, in Atzmuseus Mehusius Borech, cannot be limited to a spiritual existence. He is the existence. He is Atzmuseus Mehusius. He is the only existence. When we speak of a spiritual existence, there are many different types of spiritual existence. There's this type of ruchnius and another type of ruchnius. And therefore we also are putting limitations on Hashem should we describe Him as a spiritual existence. Certainly describing Him as a physical existence, that's something of which there is no more limitation. That is the ultimate in limitation to say something has even physical boundaries. Certainly it is saying that He is less limited by saying He's a spiritual existence. But this itself is also a limitation. What is the true idea of the essence of Hashem, something which is entirely beyond the description and limitation and boundaries of human language and human understanding. And therefore we cannot limit Him to the realm of the spiritual any more than we can limit Him to the realm of the physical. Hashem in His essence is higher than both. And therefore we could say that this is the explanation, that even the physical flesh will see Hashem in the days of Mashiach. That since we are having a revelation from a level which is so high, that is higher than both spiritual and physical, therefore there will be an ability that even physical flesh itself will understand Hashem, that it itself will have a vision of Hashem. Why? That even though physical flesh itself, it is the opposite of its tchunis, the opposite of its physical makeup, to be able to relate to godliness, nevertheless, this is only when we speak of physical as opposed to spiritual. When we have a revelation which is higher than both, we can say that the spiritual will be able to be expressed in the physical against its nature. True, the nature of physicality is that it cannot relate to godliness. However, because of the revelation of a level of godliness, or Hashem in His essence, as He is higher than any limitation whatsoever, so too, this limitation of physical flesh will also become batal. It will become nullified, and it itself will be able to see Hashem. This was all the first explanation of how it could be in the Messianic age that even flesh will perceive godliness. And according to this explanation, the innovation which will occur in the Messianic age is that there will be a revelation of Bli Gvul. There will be an infinite revelation which will penetrate even the physical realm. Against the nature and against the characteristics of physicality, there will be a revelation of godliness in physicality. However, Chassidus explains that in truth this will not be the nature of the revelation of the Messianic age. The revelation of the Messianic age will be much deeper than this. Although this type of revelation we have described seems to be of such an extent that there could be nothing higher, there is still a certain lack in this sort of revelation. And that is that the ultimate purpose of the creation was that Hashem desired to have a dira b'tachtenim, a dwelling place in the lower realms. And although we perform that now by our Torah and mitzvahs, nevertheless, it will be fully revealed in the Messianic age. And as we see in the statement of the prophet, that even physical flesh will perceive godliness at that time, which seems to be a type of dir b'tachtenim, a dwelling place in the lower realms, which cannot be matched. Because what could we have lower than physical flesh? Flesh, basar, will be v'roko basar, that flesh itself will see godliness. And therefore, this seems to be a complete dir b'tachtenim. However, Chassidus explains that this is still not a complete dir b'tachtenim. Why not? Because why is it that physical flesh will perceive godliness then? Is it because the flesh itself sees godliness because it is flesh? No. Really, the revelation is coming milomaila, from above. Since there is such a tremendous revelation from above, then the characteristics, the tchunas of flesh become batal. They become nullified. Flesh becomes no longer regular flesh. It is a different sort of flesh. There is such a revelation, according to this first explanation, such a revelation from above that flesh no longer has its regular limitations. Flesh, as it is a limitation, as it is unable to perceive godliness, this will now become batal. It'll lose its existence of flesh. And now flesh will be able to see godliness. However, is that the same type of flesh we have now? That's not the same flesh we have now. Flesh, as it is basar, as it is regular flesh, is unable to see Hashem. What will happen in the days of the Messianic Age according to that first explanation? It will be such a revelation from above that flesh will no longer be flesh. The flesh will lose its characteristics, it will lose its limitations, and now be able to understand godliness. This is not the ultimate Nedir B'Tachtonim, because the flesh of the days of Mashiach, according to this explanation, is not really a Tachton. The Tachton, the low existence of flesh as we have now, will be unable to see Hashem. Only because there was something else, a revelation from above, which mixed in, therefore flesh would be able to see Hashem. However, it's not regular flesh then, because the revelation is coming from above, regular flesh would still be unable to perceive Hashem. Only because there is a revelation from above, which has nullified the characteristics of Basar, only then could Basar perceive Hashem. Obviously, this is not the ultimate in Dir B'Tachtonim. The ultimate in Dir B'Tachtonim is that the flesh, as it is flesh, its nature will be to perceive godliness. And then the perception of godliness is not coming because of another sort of revelation. It's the revelation in the flesh itself, that its nature will be to see godliness. But how could there ever be such a revelation that the flesh itself conceals godliness, just as the entire physical world conceals godliness? So we could perhaps understand that in the days of Mashiach, this concealment will become nullified and there will be revelation. But then it wouldn't be the concealment itself. Concealment is the opposite of revelation. Concealment is not revelation. And so too, flesh is concealment. How can we say that, to say that flesh will see godliness because of a revelation from above, this is something we could understand. But that flesh, in its nature of flesh, to see godliness, how could there be such a thing? There's a lengthy explanation from the Rebbe Shlita about this point, but at least one point of his explanation we could give over here in this context. The Rebbe explains there that helem, concealment, from the beginning of the time it was created, is not truly concealment. The reason Hashem made such a concealment in the first place was only for the sake of a later revelation. As we can see in the example of Yisro Na'er Min HaChoshech, that there is an advantage of light which comes from darkness. And as Chassidus explains, it is not only that when you light up a candle in a dark room, the candle stands out much more, and therefore there is an advantage, an apparent greater light if it shows up in a dark room. The explanation is a deeper one, that the darkness itself gets converted to light. As we see in Avodas Hashem, that a person that does tshuva can convert his sins to merits. It is not only that his mitzvahs now look much greater because they are set against the backdrop of sins. Rather, the sins themselves become transformed to mitzvahs. And so too, the darkness itself gets transformed to light. And so too, any concealment in the world is truly not a concealment. The essence of that concealment, the true nature of this concealment, the reason for its creation, was only the idea of revelation. And so too, the greatest of all concealments, the darkness of the age of Golus, of the exile, is so dark that we cannot imagine that it has anything whatsoever to do with revelation. However, as the previous Rebbe explained, it is specifically at the times of exile that the nature of a Jew and his ability for Mesiras Nefesh, for self-sacrifice, can come out into the open. And this itself is the purpose of the exile. The purpose of the exile is, Chas v'Shalom, not to make permanent concealment. It is only to bring the Jewish people to an even greater revelation. And therefore, although presently the concealment is seen as concealment, however, in the Messianic age, it will be revealed that this concealment itself, its real nature is revelation. And therefore, the revelation of flesh seeing godliness in the days of Mashiach is not just a revelation which comes from above, which nullifies the characteristics of flesh. Rather, the flesh itself, which conceals godliness, is really in its panemius. Its true essence is an essence of revelation. Just as all darkness was put here in order to be converted to light, so to all concealment, the whole idea of oilam, lashon helim, that the world itself, the word in Hebrew for world, indicates a concealment, the purpose of its creation is revelation. And this, the nature of concealment, the nature of something which conceals godliness, that it itself is revelation, this will be the revelation that flesh sees godliness in the days of Mashiach. Not just a revelation from above which nullifies the characteristics of flesh, but it will be brought out in the days of Mashiach that this is what flesh is. This is what the concealment has been all this time. It was only to bring an even greater revelation which will be fully seen, v'rokol basar, in the days of Mashiach.